Scripture this morning is 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. Lord, just help us this morning. Lord, stretch us and grow us into what you would have us be. Lord, we thank you for our salvation, for you choosing us to be yours, Lord. And Father, help us now to grow, to become what you have created us to be. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Well, Pastor Will is still officially on vacation. That's why I'm here. The message this morning is entitled Spiritual Growth. But let's make it a little easier, and we'll start off with just talking about the second half. Each of us started out of the womb, and we're at a certain height or length and a certain weight. That's how we started out. And although you were there at the time, I don't expect you to remember the details. As we grew older, though, we became more aware of our growth. And being old enough to not require a booster chair or a high chair was a big deal. Excuse me. Being old enough to graduate from a tricycle to a two-wheeler was a big deal. Being old enough to start school was a big deal. And being old enough to go out on a date without mom and dad along was a big deal. Each one of these events and many more were milestones that marked our growth as individuals. They demonstrated and gave proof to the fact that we were indeed maturing, just as God intended us to do and created us to do. We may think that our growth and maturing was something that over time just kind of happened, but that's not the case. Without God supplying the air that we breathe, the ground that we walk on, the food that we ate, the parenting that we received, the education that we got, the coaching and the trials that we went through, we would not be who we are today. Now let's add the first half of our message to the title, Spiritual Growth. Spiritual growth. We really can't talk about our spiritual growth without first talking about its starting point also, just like we started to talk about our physical birth and grew from there. Our spiritual growth is where we start, and we have to talk about that also. So why do we need a spiritual birth? The quick answer to that is because we need to be saved from our sins, past, present, and future, and also that they separate us from God. So we need a spiritual rebirth. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All. I think that includes everybody here. All fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:10 through 12 says, none is righteous, and no one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good. Not even one. We are all sinners by nature, separated from our holy God. But Jesus is the answer to our sin problem. Amen. John 3:3 says, Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's our starting point in our spiritual growth. So how does our spiritual birth happen? It happens by the Holy Spirit opening up blind eyes and softening hard hearts, that we can hear and believe the good news, the gospel, the story of Jesus Christ, and be saved. Acts 26:18, Jesus said, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to good, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Acts 16:31 says, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. It's that simple. It's that easy, isn't it? Huh? Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. And so we are born again spiritually. We are saved from our sin. Romans 10:14. How then will they call on him, Jesus, and in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him who they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? Romans 10:17 says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We are saved by the Holy Spirit and the gospel of Jesus Christ. It can come in a lot of different ways and a lot of different times, but that's how we are saved. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. We can't earn, pay for, or work for our salvation. It's a free gift from God for those who believe, for those who have faith in Jesus Christ. John 1:12, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. I can remember becoming a believer at 40 and starting to read my Bible and came across that. And I thought, wow, I thought we were all God's children. But John tells us he gave us the right to become children of God when we believed in Christ. 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Okay, step one, hearing and believing, trusting in Jesus, being saved, being born again spiritually. That's where our spiritual growth starts. Now that we've been born again spiritually, we focus on our spiritual growth. The Holy Spirit begins to work in us, to transform us, and we become less and less like the world and more like Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. The Holy Spirit helps us to overcome sin and deny the flesh. Luke 9:23, he, Jesus, was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Question, what is spiritual growth? Here's my definition. Spiritual growth is the process of becoming more mature in one's relationship with Jesus Christ and the process of becoming more like Jesus Christ. It's not something that happens when we're saved. It's not something that we get like that. It's a process, and we are becoming more like Christ. We are becoming closer to Christ in our relationship. It's a process. Question, what is the timetable of spiritual growth? I think I just answered that. Spiritual growth should begin the moment a person comes to faith in Christ and should continue until a person enters the presence of Jesus after our life here on earth. Are we still worldly? This is one of our first measurements as to how well we are doing in our spiritual growth. 1 Corinthians 3:1-3 says, brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. Question, what are we watching? What are we saying? How are we living? These two are measurements of our spiritual growth. How are we distinguishing good from evil? Hebrews 5:14 says, but solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. How can we grow spiritually? We can't. We can't do it on our own. We need God's divine power. We need prayer. We need the knowledge of him. We need to be in his word daily. Matthew 19:26, and looking at them, Jesus said to them, with people it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. 2 Peter 1:3, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and goodness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. Question, what can help us to mature in our spiritual growth? We grow the fastest and deepest spiritually as we go through tough times, trials, and troubles. We have a choice to let the hard times pull us closer to God or push us further away. James 1:24 says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." So what are some measurements of our spiritual growth? Our spiritual growth should be evident in what we are producing, spiritual fruit. Are we becoming more loving, joyful, peaceful, patient, kind, good, faithful, gentle, and self-controlled? Galatians 5:23-23 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." So how can our spiritual growth glorify God? First, we can glorify God when we see how God is working in us. He gets the glory for our growth. If we aren't growing spiritually, God doesn't get the glory. We glorify God as our love for God grows to glorify Him more and more. God tells us the first and most important commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul and your strength. How are we doing? We glorify God as we grow spiritually to honor Him with a mature life. I think I use the phrase often, I'm going to do that when I get mature. And that means something different to me now that I've gone through this message. Galatians 1:10, "For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." Wow, may that be our prayer, to be a bondservant of Christ. 1 Corinthians 13:11, "When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me." That was our verse for today. Question, what are some things that could help us in our spiritual growth? Our physical growth has taken much time and much effort, even on our part. And our spiritual growth also will take much time and much effort on our part. Have we taken part in believers' baptism since we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior? Part of spiritual growth is obedience. Every example of baptism that we see in the New Testament is done as a proclamation of that person coming to a believing faith in Jesus Christ. Acts 8:13, "Even Simon himself believed, and after being baptized, he continued on with Philip." That's just one example. Pastor Will, myself, and Mike would be glad to add your name to the list for our next believer's baptism. Question, what are opportunities here at Timber Ridge Community Church to assist us in our spiritual growth? How about spiritual growth as a fisher of men? Matthew 4:19, Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." I find that interesting that that's the first statement that came out of Jesus when he picked his disciples. You know, that was kind of a first importance, wasn't it? Make us fishers of men. We have some great places to practice fishing for men. Brentwood and Bridgewater both have very forgiving and speaker-friendly audiences. We can step up and practice proclaiming the good news about Jesus in a pretty safe spot. Spiritual growth in corporate prayer, praying together with other people. Jesus gave example after example of praying in public with his disciples. John 17:1, Jesus spoke these things, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you." Brentwood and Bridgewater are also great places to learn how to and practice praying for and with others. Every day when we're there, at both places, when we're done, we say we're not in any hurry to leave. We'd love to pray with you or for you. And we split up and take however many people are there and ask, "May we pray for you?" or "How can we pray for you?" And we pray. Excellent practice. Also, the men's group every Wednesday morning, the Bible study and prayer group Wednesday afternoons, and the ladies' Bible study on Tuesday mornings. A great place to practice corporate prayer. Acts 4:42. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Acts 1:14. These all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer. Spiritual growth is knowing and understanding God's word. Mark 12:24. Jesus said to them, "Is this not the reason you are mistaken, that you do not understand the scriptures or the power of God?" Romans 15:4. For whatever was written in the earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. John 20:31. These scriptures have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. We have some great places to learn and hear God's word. Tuesday morning's ladies group, Wednesday morning men's group, Wednesday afternoon Bible study, Sunday service. These are all in addition to our opening our Bibles daily at home. Spiritual growth in serving others. We also have some great opportunities to be a servant to all. Mark 9:35, Jesus called the 12 and said to them, "If anyone wants to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all." John 21:9-12. So when they got out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire already laid and fish placed in it and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." We have some great opportunities to serve by sharing a meal, just as Jesus did. Here on the third Sundays of every month, we have a blue box back there, and we collect non-perishable foods for interfaith ministries. There's opportunities to help out in the kitchen and also to bring in homemade or purchased treats on Sunday mornings, providing meals for our shut-ins, or by inviting our guests or new attendees to your home or out to dinner. Luke 19:45-46. Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out those who were selling, saying to them, "It is written, 'And my house shall be a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of robbers." We don't come across many robbers, but we do have dust, dirt, and few bugs that need to be driven out of here every week. And we have a cleaning committee that takes care of that. And they would love to have some help or some alternatives to come alongside them or to take their place once in a while to give them a break. Spiritual growth in giving. We have some great missions that we support with our prayers, our people, and our finances. Malawi, Africa, Amman, Jordan, Cuba churches, Women's Pregnancy Center, Interfaith Ministries, and Gideon Bibles. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, "Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." God continues to bless us by growing us in number. There are opportunities to be supporting our existing ministry here, the daily costs and weekly costs, but also preparing for our future growth. In summary, God didn't create us to be solo Christians. He uses a great deal of the dialogue in his word to describe the body of Christ, his church, his fellowship of believers, how each part, each one of us, is not only important but necessary to make up the whole body of Christ. His church, worshiping and working together. Our main goal in life is not to be saved and to go to heaven. Our main goal in life is not to be saved and go to heaven. Our main goal is to bring glory to God with our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. To grow up spiritually so that we can be all that God created us to be. And to join God in his kingdom work that he is doing all around us. And so we pray. Dear Heavenly Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, O Lord, cause us not to be content to just be saved. Cause us to use your power within us, Lord, your Holy Spirit, that we might become all that you created us to be and desire us to be. May we look more like Christ every day, Lord. May we understand your word more every day. May we lean and rest in you, Lord, more every day. Help us, Lord, with our spiritual growth. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.